on that, but since it's a little after six, I'm Stan Porter, and I'll be the mayor pro tem tonight. And we'd like to welcome everybody. This is our work session. And I guess the first thing on the agenda here is the recognition of council member Natalie Gordon and this other guy, Stan Porter. So who's going to do that? You, Ken?
Well, I'm going to try, but it won't be as good as what you two deserve. So we'll do our best. We had a chance last Friday night to recognize Stan at our Christmas dinner, and Councilmember Gordon was not in attendance. She was doing something even better, which was in San Diego, out of the snowstorm that we were having. So we even had a couple of accidents. Some city employees had an accident all the way home. So I will, Stan, if you'll accept the fact that we're going to read some things about Natalie, but not you. We'll do it that way. So tonight we do have a chance to recognize, as Stan said, both Stan and Natalie for their service. Tonight is their last scheduled council meeting. We may have an emergency meeting if we need to between now and January 2nd, but this will be our last meeting together as a group. So prior to Natalie's city council service, which began in 2020, she served twice on the Planning Commission. We appreciate our Planning Commission members so much, including Natalie's great contributions there. It's a hard job. It requires a lot of effort, and Natalie did a great job on the Planning Commission. She served many years ago from 2001 to 2006 on the city's Water Rate Board, according to our records. I wasn't here then, so you were. We'll take everybody's word for it, including the record. She served on the Parks Committee on two different occasions, and most recently in 2014 to 2016. She has done an amazing job as the Youth City Council advisor. She created energy and momentum in that program. I'm appreciative of that. And she passed on a terrific program to the Beebes, who are now serving as the YCC advisors. And she's currently in her city council role. She's the liaison to the Youth City Council. In all of Natalie's roles, she's been a hard worker. She's been an advocate for fairness and equity. She has strong skills in public policy, and she's used her intellect and her judgment well in helping the city make important decisions, all of us included. She's been a great member of the team. I've appreciated Natalie's directness, and on many occasions she's helped me in our one-on-one phone calls and other occasions when we've had a chance to talk. You've helped me to sort through the background noise and really identify clearly issues and priorities and what's most important. She has pinpointed what matters most in her view for all of us, and that's been a great voice on the city council. You've given us important perspectives, viewpoints, and that's one of the greatest things about our city council. I hope it continues. All six elected officials are able to deliberate openly and clearly, and we share opinions, sometimes very similar, sometimes very much not similar opinions, but we always have open debate, and that's everyone has what's best for the city in their minds and in their hearts, and Natalie, you've done that. You've been a clear voice for thinking through alternatives and looking at matters in a new way and helping us to do the same. The last thing I'll say, and I think Natalie's done as good a job at this as any elected official I've ever known, but she has really looked out for her neighbors and her fellow citizens in Foxborough. She advocates what's best for the city, but you also advocate very well for your neighborhood, which has been great. She brings energy and fortitude to the council, and we'll miss your clear input on what you believe is best. We thank you and your family for the hours and months and years of service you've given to the city and to the citizens of North Salt Lake, and of course we wish you the best as you pursue whatever's next for you. So thank you. And we gave Stan a chance to say something. So if you want to speak, after you do that, we'll present some gifts to you.
I was going to joke that we're moving to Woods Cross, but that's not even funny. I love North Salt Lake, and I'm really grateful that I've had the opportunity to serve. When I was 20, I was the legislative intern for the governor of Arizona, the one that was indicted, not the one that was impeached. And it was the most amazing experience. And when my 10 weeks were over, I cried like a baby, and everyone was embarrassed for me. And I really thought that was the pinnacle, that I was never going to do anything that great again. And I am so grateful for all the opportunities that I've had here in North Salt Lake, but especially serving on the council, because I really do feel like I've met amazing people, I've learned amazing things, and I hope that I have been able to make good choices for this city that I love. So thank you.
Well, thank you. We haven't forgotten your love of Woods Cross City. And we won't make you go through this basket of things that Wendy has so diligently chosen for you. We kind of worked as a team, but she's the one that did all the work as usual. But there's some good things in there about North Salt Lake and Woods Cross. So it will be awesome for you to have that experience to go through. Maybe you can put some Woods Cross stuff on your walls at home when you get home. We also have for you both. John, you want to hold this one up? We'll show the audience. We have street signs for Natalie and for Stan.
Does this mean we actually get to claim a city street?
You can move it around on whatever street you want.
Anyway, we'll give those to you. Thank you, John. And I'm sorry the mayor isn't here because I'm not as good at making these plaque presentations as the mayor. But we have a plaque for, I'll show the audience, for Natalie and Stan. They're the same. I'll read what it says on your city plaque. The city council and mayor offer sincere appreciation for your hard work, active engagement, and tireless service to improve the city and support our residents. And so we have this for one for you, Natalie, and one for you, Stan, with your years of service on them. So we're trying to make this last as long as possible. So I'm sure that we would want to have a picture of you both with your plaque maybe and maybe your street signs. We'll figure something out so that Linda can use it on the website so we can publish your last meeting and your service. We also have a cake, which we'd love to share with everybody here. And so please have a piece of cake. Take your photographs with you. They're yours to take. So, and you don't have to keep them if you don't like them. I mean, some people don't like photos of themselves, but they're yours.
Just going to conduct the meeting if you go down.
It's right here.
Yeah, maybe while she's cutting, we could take a photo of you guys.
All right.
Oh, so they could have been sitting at a table. Well, she's gone ahead and gone down.
So bring your plaque. And maybe we'll have you stand up there between your street signs.
Well, I'm just, I don't know if you read the cake, but it says you made it out alive. So.
Yes, the cake says made it out alive. Which you most certainly did.
Oh, Natalie, don't cover the word away.
So stand closer together. There you go. Okay, perfect. We'll try that for one picture, and then we'll get a little closer. That's great. and then I'll just...
Well, I just want to say thank you, Ken, and the staff and everybody that's treated me so well. It's been great. I won't make a big speech because that'd take too long, and we've got Camille that has a presentation for us from the Camille Thorpe with the I don't know how to say it.
Nowadays just Parks and Arts.
Yeah, okay.
Parks and Arts.
I was going to say Parks, Arts, Recreation Advisory Board.
Oh, okay. Like I said. Hello. And before I forget, because I'm going to get excited to talk about this Veterans Memorial.
I think your mic's not on, is it?
Yeah, just put your mouth a little closer to it.
Thank you. Before I forget, because I'm excited to present the signage verbiage for the Veterans Memorial, I just wanted to say thank you, Stan Porter, for inviting me to get involved through this and later getting on the other committee, whatever name it was. Pete, no, I'm not going to say it. I can't say it. but thank you so much. This project I'm going to read it off the agenda. Consideration of request by the Parks, Trails, Arts, Recreation Advisory Board for signage at the Veterans Memorial Park at Hatch Park. And I'm just going to give you a little history about what was going to be at that space. So I'm going to go old school on you because I need all of your help. Okay, this won't take long, I swear. I didn't rehearse it, but it won't take long. Here it is, Mary.
Mine says duty and...
Okay, I probably should have sent in a PowerPoint, but quickly I'm just going to take you around the circle. The picture I have here that I can hand around is a picture that Linda sent me when the circle was being completed, when the building was getting landscaped, and that was about 2014, 15, and Stan called and said, could we do something with that circle? I've had them hold off on pouring concrete in that circle. I think we need a veterans memorial. What can you do? And so I'll show you that picture, and then I will explain what we did and the verbiage for the signage. Okay, I'll just start that round with you. Because I want council to see it. Thank you so much. And so we called upon some local friends and neighbors, and one of those were one group was the group out at Amcor and AMI who donated the stones, and another was our friend Ron Hurd, a Mason friend, the best friend to have, and not just because he's a Mason, but and I just added Ken Arvey on that because he helped lay all those pavers right there along with Ron, and then I was asked to design it, so I just put myself as a new neighbor, Camille Thorpe. So, have you been able to see it yet? Here we go. Here's the words. It's for the Veterans Memorial Amphitheater at City Hall, North Salt Lake, Utah. This Veterans Memorial honors the sacrifice and service of our North Salt Lake veterans. When you walk around the circle, discover the words that are there and the words that are etched in stone. These words reflect core values our military members exemplify with honor and courage and sacrifice and loyalty. This memorial provides an important gathering place for us to remember the dedication of those who fight to protect our freedom. Explore the space, read the words. Did you even know there were words there? I bet many of us have just walked across it, but that's not in the verbiage, by the way. Read the words, invite others to think about what the values represent and to our veterans who embody them. When you leave, carry the values with you and make your own mark on our community through volunteering, participating in public service, and being good neighbors. And thank a veteran. That's what I'll submit for the signage. And the signage, if you look at the picture, would be right up there along the blank wall, maybe to the left somewhat of that utility box. And we'll decide on a vendor and look and feel when there's more information about Hatch Park's look and feel signage, because the second sign to mention tonight is updating David Martin's sign about the Bamberger Railroad that is right there by the old skateboard park, and getting that updated with it. Did I do that right? Okay, next time I'll have a PowerPoint. Do you have any questions for me?
It looks good to me.
Looks good? Okay, I was kind of hoping that you'd all make that circle right here with the pieces of paper.
Thank you so much, Camille. We appreciate that. I think it'd be good. We've talked about this for quite a few years. It's not new. We always had in mind that we'd put some kind of signage up.
But Stan, I owed it to you, and I'm sorry I left the committee last time without finishing it. So
it's fine.
Before you're done with your office, I said I got to get that sign done.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
you're
you.
You're welcome.
So I think that we're not looking for action on this from the council, but it would help to know if everyone's supportive of this idea. We'll include it on our action items, and we'll get started on looking at a design and bring something back to you.
I have a question. Will that particular part of the wall be disrupted in any way during the Hatch Park remodel?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, that you're talking about the Bamberger sign?
Specifically, I was talking about the Veterans Memorial, also a good question.
Yeah. So the Bamberger sign, I don't know that I can answer that because we don't have the final design right now. So, but there won't be disturbance at the Veterans Park due to Hatch Park.
Yeah. And the other thing will obviously be disturbed. It'll be gone. So that's why she wanted to get it replaced. It was an Eagle project. Okay, thank you so much. We'll move right on. Karen Baxter, is that two presentations? Landslide repair and golf course? Are you taking over?
No, I'm not taking over the golf course. Tyler's doing far too good of a job. I'll do the first portion of this item, and then Tyler will do the second portion of it.
Okay.
So we have in the upcoming city council meeting, we have some items on the budget amendment that you have not seen before. And so we wanted to include a preview prior to the public hearing. So this is 745 Parkway Drive. This is within the Eagle Point Landslide area. This is RJ Colissimo's home. And above it, in March of this year, there was some surface slippage. You can kind of see the slump area that has happened. So city personnel went up. We had visits done by geotech professionals and consultants. UGS showed up and said, "Hey, Karen, what's going on up here?" And so we all did a bunch of investigation. As you can imagine, we were on high alert for what was happening and what it would mean. It was determined to be what they call surficial slippage, which means the very surface area of the ground kind of slipped. It's not an indication of any kind of landslide recurrence or any kind of problems. So the landslide was a very deep slippage, a very large scoop of earth. This is just a very shallow surface. It's, I think, visually frightening to people because it looks very similar on a very small scale. Because that slip, because it slumped down, that very steep surface will continue to slide. More will come off because now it's very vertical. We'll have erosion problems. It will continue to enlarge. And so we were trying to come up with a way of correcting this, not because it's dangerous, but because we don't need larger problems or any visual signs of problems in this very sensitive area. This is a very steep slope. This is kind of a cross-section of what would have been planned for what they call the clismal buttress. And you can see this very middle section, if you look right in the middle where it's a one-to-one, this is kind of the area where the slippage has occurred right above. The soils here are very fine-grained. When they get wet, they lose their structural strength and movement. It just kind of slumps, for lack of a better term. So this is kind of a plan view of the overall remediation plan. If you look at the topo lines there on the left behind the Colissimo home in this area, you can see how they're very close together compared to the topo lines further to the right on this drawing in the larger landslide area. Because the area is very physically constrained, we had a very small space to work with because the existing home and yard and landscaping were already there. We ended up with a steep soil. There's a known seep in this location. On the drawing, the circle that says D510, that location, the arrow that comes over, it's identifying a seep location where there's a natural spring that comes out of the mountainside. Piping was put in to collect that water and divert it away. And we knew that there would be a potential problem if we didn't control water in this location. We then had a historical wet winter, and the hill was saturated, and that's what created the slump. So it wasn't so much a failure of conditions, but kind of a perfect set of conditions that occurred. So the plan is to remove the material from the slump area, to dig a keyway for stability so it doesn't continue to slide. We want to extend the drainage back to where that seep apparently is occurring further in or further up or further to the side or some location that we did not collect previously. We'll add some additional gravel to collect that water and tie it into the piping. We are going to reinstall the native material with stabilization. The design and on-site direction is going to be by Geostrata. So Geostrata is our geotech consultant. They do a lot of review for us. They've worked with us a long time, and we have the utmost confidence in their ability. The intent here is, rather than doing a very expensive design, going out to bid, having completed construction drawings, what we really need is an on-site field directive. We will dig, and then we find stable soil and the correct geoprofessionals on-site and says, yes, we are done. Rather than hauling out the material and reinstalling import, this photograph gives you an idea of the access into this area. So rather than truck material out and truck material in, which will denude and further destabilize the soil, we're going to stabilize the on-site. There have been a number of concessions or discussions made. One of them would be doing a burrito wrap of the soil to create basically a soil-faced wall. We've talked about a number of different items. The only thing for sure is we'll be extending the drain. Geostrata is working on a detail right now. But the idea is we will have them on site to do the work. The contractor we've selected is Pride Constructors. They've done work for the city in the past on several occasions. And the combination of a qualified contractor and the correct geotech giving direction, we think that it will minimize the time, significantly decrease the cost, and give us a really solidified soil slope that will prevent a future slump. If a future slump does occur, the kind of ramifications of that would be we're going to need significantly more. So the intent is, instead of putting it back exactly as it is, to correct the problem. And we anticipate the total cost for this project to be about $30,000, which I will note is less than a design package to go out to bid. So we think this is by far the best way to do this. So it's kind of the introduction to the item in the agenda for the amendment, and then there will also be authorization to spend those funds further in the regular session. Are there any questions about this before Tyler tells you more interesting things?
I guess the only question I had is, can they get up there without ruining this guy's backyard? Or?
Yeah, so part of the reason I included this particular photograph is I have made arrangements with the homeowner because there is a buttress that has been completed on the remainder of the slope from this location to the north. We have made arrangements to go right up, so if you come off up his driveway and go left in between those rocks, we can go straight up through his grass and reach the native vegetation slope, which is a small enough slope that we can track all the way up to this location without going through all of his beautiful landscaping. The agreement is we'll protect the concrete and then we'll resod as needed in the spring. He thinks we may have to replace a tree or two, but he's tremendously cooperative and he's like, ah, it's fine, we can put a new tree in. But our intent would be to destroy nothing except for potentially the grass that we're gonna have to track across.
Great. Is there any more questions or?
This is a really elegant solution, so thank you for coming up with this.
Thank you.
Yeah, that'll work good. Thank you.
Council members, thanks for letting me come bug you today. I do have a couple slides, but I'm going to read them. I'll let you kind of percolate through these. My request, and part of my request will be in the budget amendment that you'll consult with Heidi shortly. I just kind of wanted to give you some background on some needs for an additional full-time staff member for the grill operations. So background, we hired Justin, kitchen manager, February, if you remember my report. We really got going in April. We really didn't know what we were getting into with the grill operations as far as how busy we'd be, revenue, expenses. It's kind of been a slow burn, but looking at our event, tournament, and other outing next year, it's gonna be difficult for us to fulfill what I would see as our expectations for that, by just having Justin as our only full-time employee and then filling it with seasonal. So this kind of gives you some challenges that we have. Just to give you more background, this past year we did 19 of the 87 events that we had in the event center were catered by us, which is not very many. We got a lot of the events were booked before we had Justin hired, before we had a caterer. So if we have anywhere close to that as far as catering events, I would say 70 to 85 to 90 events, we are going to be in some precarious position here with just Justin as our full-time staff. That's a lot of hours for him to work and to oversee and control just by himself with the kitchen operations. So another part of that is to kind of lessen his working hours so he doesn't accrue so much comp time. Essentially, I would have more of working time of him at the facility rather than having time off. So potentially the operations with Gateway Parks, the tubing run next winter, if we proceed there, that also adds another element of a winter operation that's full-time, that if we go down this same path and have Justin comp time, I'll be the one in there serving hot chocolate and popcorn and whatever else. So I think there are a lot of benefits, a lot of ancillary benefits, a lot of financial benefits by having another full-time employee there. Obviously, there's an additional cost, but I think overall our operation would be more successful by having another full-time employee that is invested in the operations, that is consistently trained how we want them trained, less seasonality, less turnover, and more of a succinct yearly operation than what we currently have is what I would say seasonal. I think we will have those amount of tournaments. Our revenue has shown even in this fiscal year that we've done more than what the previous concessionaire had done in their top year. We have some growth still to go and some expenses to cut, and I think by making this first step in this direction will help us accomplish a lot of the goals we have for the cafe and grill. So Hopefully I kind of covered that. I try not to be too wordy and get through there. We're looking about $50,000 for the remainder of this fiscal year and probably close to $80,000 for payroll and benefits for the next fiscal year, just to give you an idea on cost there. Any questions?
Do you have any questions?
I have a couple questions. This is very exciting. I love seeing the golf course and the event space open up like this. Are the golf course staff on the 410 schedule that other city staff use?
No. We are on a as needed kind of. We all kind of work really mostly five and a half days a week, depending on if some of our other full-time staff have lessons. They're off the clock on those lessons, but generally we're there at least 5 days a week. And our schedules, depending on it's so hard because we're open 16 to 17 hours a day.
And weekends.
So we're open 7 days a week, and I've got to fill those times in with staff. And I try to extend our professional staff out, much like we would do with the cafe, over our busy times and when I need an experienced person there. So their schedule does vary a little bit, but for the most part, we're 5 days to 5.5 days.
And then, thank you. And then I have a question. There's a middle bullet point that says lower temporary seasonal employee wages by 20%. Explain that to me.
So that's my goal is currently right now we have, let's say on a busy day, I have generally two cooks and then another front of house or server type person there all day. If we had an experienced full-time person there, I would cut out one of those cooks. So I'd essentially have one cook or that assistant kitchen manager there during that time to where I could know that they can handle front of house orders, cooking, instead of having two employees sharing those responsibilities, I would just have one. So that would be one way that we're going to cut some of that seasonality in payroll.
So you, the 20% means it would decrease the cost to pay. You're not actually going to decrease the wage of a seasonal or temporary.
No, yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
That's
so
what I wanted to clarify.
The overall expense, yeah. So my great. Hope is we reduce the amount of temporary or seasonal employee hourly wages from hiring this person. So kind of hoping to offset, similar to what we did with, if you remember, I think it was probably 2 years ago, we did with the turf maintenance. We hired another assistant superintendent. We lowered those wages on the temporary side. We kind of took them from that and moved them over to the full-time position. So we're filling it right now with temporary, but I think having that person there that can handle every aspect of the operation will help, much like Justin does when he's there by himself. So.
Do you have a question?
I do. Do you have anyone in mind in particular for this full-time position?
So there's a couple really good seasonal employees at the golf course right now. That I think both Justin and I feel would be great candidates for it. There's others out there too that him and I have discussed. So I think there's someone out there that is looking for this, and it's a great opportunity for them to get in the state retirement system with benefits. And a lot of these cooks are working hourly, no benefits, so this would be a great opportunity for them to join something that is more beneficial for them than other positions. So I think we'd have a good applicant pool if we opened it up that way.
Hey, great. Okay. Sounds like a good
Thank
idea.
You guys. Appreciate
Does anybody
it.
Else have any more questions? Looks like Mayor Horrocks is going to join us remotely again. Okay, Ken.
I would just add that, just so we're clear, if we haven't been clear, both of these presentations will show up in the budget amendment. So
right.
We just thought we'd give you more explanation, but
sure.
I'm sure you knew that.
Okay, I guess it's Heidi now. Going to give us a monthly financial report ending October 31st.
Thank you. So October 31st puts us at 34% of the fiscal year elapsed. Oh, no. Am I out of order? There we go. I went too fast. General fund revenues are at 15% collected. These are the typical statistics that are on that summary sheet, but I wanted to put them on the record where we're at. And then expenses are right on track at 34% spent, and that's typical for this time of year with revenues being slow. We'll see property tax pick up with collections for the end of November with the December and January distributions. As I've said, I'm always trying to find interesting trends to point out to make these monthly reports meaningful in the moment. And I've been watching sales tax revenue and kind of alluding to the fact that we knew at some point we would see a softening of that revenue as of October, and then even looking at the collections in November as we're closing out November right now, it does look like we're slightly under previous year to date. Looking at the October collections year over year, you can see that growth, and then it just goes up to 10% through 2021 and 2022, whereas this year it is just flat. And so just to explain the importance of that, the general fund is mostly funded by sales tax with property tax. And you can look at how the growth has kind of impacted what we're able to do. So property tax, if you look at that second grid there, in 2019, collections were $2.8 million, almost $2.9. And they've grown to 3.16 at the close of fiscal year 2023. So property tax is very stable, but it grows slowly, and we only collect new revenues with that new growth. And we had a great time talking about that sometime last year. But sales tax is a little more volatile, and you can kind of see how that growth has happened between 2019 and 2023. And so any reduction or flattening of that sales tax, those collections, will impact our general fund. So just be on the alert. I think it's something that we'll watch as we close out the end of this fiscal year, and certainly will need to be addressed when we look at the 2025 budget next spring, looking at that sales tax and seeing how much that's going to be able to support any new growth in the general fund.
Do you have any clues of why it's doing that? Is there any particular businesses that are going away or not selling as much?
Nothing specific to North Salt Lake. It's across the board for all governments right now.
Okay.
Yep. I'm sorry.
I have a question. I'm understanding the number, because we've got 1.7 sales tax up there, and then down over here we have 6.7.
Oh, the 1.7 number is only for the first 4 months of the year.
Okay.
And, yep. And we're actually in fiscal year 2024, so the bottom set of figures is annual revenues, and okay. Those are the closed fiscal year audited numbers.
Okay.
And so this is where I'm just kind of comparing, okay, if we just take a look at how we did the first 4 months of each of those years, 2019 through 2023, what is our trend looking like? And
okay.
Where we were seeing really great growth, it's just kind of flat. So.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. To Stan's point, to Councilmember Porter's point, related to the types of collections that we receive and what we should maybe be looking at is the specific industries that are really heavily weighted for our collections. So we know there are auto dealerships here in North Salt Lake. So I think we'll wait another couple months and maybe do a bigger presentation during a finance report that looks into the types of industries that are really feeding into that revenue base and look at the individual trends that are happening there. So a little more granular view. So
thank you.
Were there any questions on the financial reports?
Any more questions?
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. We've got a little bit of time left here. I guess we can take a little break now and eat cake. All right.
Cake.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll try to start our regular meeting at 7 on that. So everybody's welcome to have some of this cake over here. We don't want to take it home. So anybody in the audience, anybody's welcome to